church is recognized as one, as a whole.
From the divine standpoint, the entire church is recognized as one, as a whole, for as the body is one, yet has many members, so also is Christ. We are members in particular of the body of Christ. In harmony with this thought, the scriptural presentation of the matter is that although the Lord considers us individually, and in many respects deals with us individually, yet our standing before the Father is not so much in unit, but as members or parts of a unit, which unit is Christ and in love. Hence, we are informed that after we have believed, our next step is to get into the body of Christ, to be baptized in his body.
Yes, now, what is that scripture found that baptized into his body?
Of the high priest, but as a typical high priest, but only members of a body.
That's this way he ends this so also with Christ, what would that tend to make us believe that, that most of the people of the even Christian world do not believe?
Well, there aren't many Christians that not believe that Christ is made up of more than one. I know that.
Yeah. They believe that Christ is one.
Yeah, but there's an individual there.
But he's saying here, this body has many members. What does the word Christ mean here?
United.
United. What would be another word for it, too?
The Hebrew word for Messiah.
The Hebrew word would be Messiah.
Well, are we members of the Messiah?
Well, that's a good question. Are we members of the Messiah? What does the word Messiah mean?
Savior.
Right. The word Christ, isn't it? Yes, it all really comes back to the same thing, doesn't it? But when you analyze the different word, are the members of his body part of the Messiah? Or are they the Messiah along with him?
They are the Messiah.
They are the Messiah.
Sure.
Well, how would you know that?
Because that's under the language. That's the Hebrew language. We translate it into the Greek. It's Christos, or Christ. And you see, that is the same word, same meaning. So if you are a member of the body of Christ, you are a member of the Messiah. Because the Messiah would be the one which would bring the institution to the world.
Brother John.
Yes.
I would look at it from another viewpoint also, and that is the seed. In Galatians, we're told that if ye be Christ, then are ye Abraham's seed, and heirs according to the promise. For the seed was to be the blesser, and the blesser is the Messiah. Consequently, the church as a whole would be part of the Messiah, or part of the blesser, or part of the seed, which is Christ.
Yeah.
Well, John, I don't see it that way. To me, they're all titles of words. You can have a half a dozen words if you want, or two names in another word. But Christ, the Messiah, identifies a certain word. Christ, the Anointed, can identify another word, another feature of the same thing. But I can't see how we can be. And when you take the Old Testament prophecy of Messiah, we're not in that at all.
Well, and in what way would you mean we're not in that at all?
Yes, as part of the Messiah, the title of Messiah. We're no part of the Messiah when those prophecies were referred to, we're referring to Christ alone.
Well, let me point out the Hebrew word Christ. It is not Christ the same in the original sense. Which is Jesus that saved, that's why you've got the prophet of is Jesus the Messiah. Jesus the Christ. Now the Hebrew word for Jesus is Joshua. So you tell the truth, Joshua is the same in that sense. But you heard the children, you heard over this with the children. So the Joshua is Jesus, Messiah is the Christ.
When we go back to our tabernacle, who was the high priest? Great high priest on the day of
atonement.
Aaron? Yes, alright. Now, antitypically, Aaron pictured who?
He pictured our Lord and also pictured the whole church.
How do you know that? What would give you that particular thought? Looking at it on the day of the tomb.
Well, that's where he showed the two blood.
Yeah,
there's a division, you see, which might be used to settle the division. You might have an individual use a handle, as it were, or operate the blood of the goat. And a Roman says, you'll operate the blood of the goat. Which accepts the same individual that kills the two animals and places the blood in exactly one to the other. In the most early, you see. There is no division there. There is even a thought that he is that expression. But it's just one sacrifice. God looks on it as one sacrifice in two parts.
And high priest was just a bullock in the brother of the bullock. That's Jesus alone.
When he went in with the goat, who was he?
That was the members of the body were with him then.
Yes, never. And when he would come out and bless the people, who was he?
That's what he told. That was
his goat. Well, wouldn't you say that that was pictured the Messiah in that particular case, or the Christ?
I don't know. I've always referred to Messiah.
Well, Messiah to you would mean what?
The coming deliverer, the ransomer, in other words.
The deliverer, or the actually
the
savior of the world, wouldn't it?
Yes, I'm not saying
that. Well, don't you think that, that the members of his body, as they come into him and become one unit, become that Messiah or that deliverer of the world of mankind?
Well, that's something that comes afterwards. I think
he's
the Messiah first, and then we come in afterwards.
Well, I always thought of him as being, as I was in Hebrew, picturing not only our Lord Jesus, but all those that he would gather in to do the work, really, of delivering the world of mankind. That's the reason why I think this is such a wonderful thing, is because you'll notice as we go along here a particular favorite point. I think we can go along and we can read this, and to me it is beautiful. And the thing that I think we ought to note is the body of Christ is an actual thing here. It doesn't wait till we get over there for the body of Christ to be made up. But the body of Christ is made up here. And everyone that is called and begotten of God becomes what? Becomes one of the members of that body, don't they?
But if you're not talking to a complete
it can't function until it's complete. That's right.
Well, but John, could I just promote just a brief interpretation? Messiah. M-E-S-S-I-H. The anointed means the flesh of black. This word, Messiah, adds to the word Christ or Christos in the New Testament. And it's applicable in its first sense to everyone in the world of the Holy Ghost. The truth of Israel and so forth. So then we look back and look at Leviticus 8. What happened? Remember all what was on the head ran down his body. How much was buried on the double skirts and so forth. So we were in that body of the anointed. So that's where you get the thought that we must think about that body of Christ. Because that's the anointed. It's the same word in the Hebrew, carrying exactly that thought.
Brother John, there's another thought too, the Messiah. As I said, it's the blesser. And he's the one, as Sister Arlen said, to deliver and to bring life in the resurrection. And there's another picture that substantiates this thought, and that is the second Adam and the second Eve. It takes the two to complete God's plan of restitution of the world, resurrection.
But when they
tell them
when they were looking for the Messiah, they weren't looking for nobody but one person.
That's right, and they were looking wrong too.
Mm-hmm.
That's the thing
that pulled
them. Yeah.
Well, a long time ago, Ben Cooper was talking about the mention in Jeremiah of the Christ in Jeremiah 23, the mention of prophecy, the advent of our Lord. He mentions him as being named the righteousness of Jehovah. Then in the 33rd chapter, it mentions her as being named the righteousness of Jehovah, showing that God is the
Jew. Yeah, I think that we'll find out that everything that happened to Christ will happen to his body members. All the way down
here. This was just by my first John. It's a New Testament. First John
verse 21. He first found his own brother, Simon, and said unto him, we have found the Messiah, which is the justice declared. He gives the following concept, I hope.
The red eyes of Hebrew Greek.
Well, he's saying you've got this one here.
I don't have the understanding, too, that when Jesus says to them, who do they say that I am? Remember when he's talking to his disciples and apostles? And I think particularly his disciples or apostles at the time. But anyway, they said, some say you're Elias. Didn't come, what was the
other line?
Jeremiah.
Well, yeah. When John the Baptist comes back to you,
right? Yeah.
We say, thou art the Lord,
because thou art the Christ. The Son of the Living God. Well, now, when he says it, you could say, when Peter says that, that's all that existed, really, was Jesus. And he was the Christ. But as those members came into his body, they also became the Christ. They also became the Messiah. They also became the Deliverer. Because he was the Deliverer, and if they became a part of him, then they also became what he was. To me, that is especially the Paul is giving to us here. Is that which Jesus was, or is that which his body is also.
It also showed up sign of the visionary fall, the fall. You see, it was why a priest did it about me.
In other words, there's no separation, really, of any member from the Christ. That which is spoken of one has to be spoken of all. I think that's the thing that Paul is trying to bring to our attention as we read this. We'll go on and read this. But I think, Sister Brown, if you look that up carefully, I think you'll come to that.
You see, what I mean is, when Christ just came, for that period of time, he was the only one. I would believe it afterwards when he came in, that we're part of it. But there was a period of time that Jesus was the only anointed on the side.
Well, I would agree with that, because he was the head. He became the head of the corner, didn't he? But when the others were joined to the head...
Yeah, but that's an afterthought. That comes later.
But really, the Messiah has not yet come, has he?
Not
yet. Messiah has not yet come, has he?
The first church has come.
He only came to...
Keep the Jewish nation. He presented himself as the Messiah to the Jewish nation. And it's rejected. You see what my point is?
But he says, as many as what?
Yeah, he's only receiving the gave the authority to
the Jewish nation. So just as many as but he didn't come as Messiah to deliver the world, did he?
Oh, no.
But he will come as Messiah. He will come as Messiah to deliver the world of mankind, won't he? The Jews included. But he didn't deliver the Jews.
That came later.
But he's going to come as the Messiah. That's the reason why it speaks of him coming with tens of thousands or thousands of thousands of his saints or his angels to judge the world with righteousness.
Well, don't you understand this picture of the body and members of it? It's like on this side of the veil as well as the other?
Oh, yes, very definitely. But there's the point we were bringing out, that the body of Christ begins here. And it doesn't change when it gets over there. The Father sent the judges, I'm entirely in agreement with that thought, that every member of that body is selected for a particular position in that body. He's not selected at random, so that his position will be determined over there. He's selected right now for a position in that body, and he himself has a position.
That's why
the
human body fits for a while, because it's specified, a hand and a foot and an eye and so forth. That would definitely make it that there would be different positions, a star different from star.
Yeah.
Most
yes.
Of the male.
First thing that's called sexist is the tail. The male God had access to him within the body and it pleased him. But it says that he felt that the first place, the male access to him within the body and it pleased him.
Yes, my is there is that argument, you know, and yes, he took the 12 apostles and they were to be the 12 foundation stones of the temple of God, or the city of God. Then all the rest of them also must be selected for a particular position in the body of Christ and not for a position they might have when they get over there. Jesus was selected for one position, the head. The 12 apostles were selected for certain positions. They were selected as foundation stones. They were the foundation, really, of the city of God that we read in Revelation. Then every other member must also have been selected for a particular position. What really does this body of Christ represent? If we were to liken it to something, what would we liken it to? We know that it's not going to be an actual or literal body. What is it going to be, really?
Brother John, that brings to my mind the thought of a ruling body, an organization to rule, a government.
That's right.
Where everybody does.
That is really what it is. It's a government that's going to be set up, that is going to rule and reign over the earth for the particular purpose of bringing them up to perfection. That's its purpose.
And a cooperative government.
What?
A cooperative government.
Yes, a cooperative government.
If you go to one head, you've got to have this according to the head.
And
not like our government.
And if you were going to select a government, just how would you go about selecting the officers of that government? Just how would you go about selecting them?
No, I could get people that were loyal, that if they've got to be a veteran, that's the one I'd want.
Oh, that's right.
But they really have to be somewhat adaptable to that position.
Well, to me, that is the point. They would have to be adapted to that particular position that they would be fit into in the government. And I think that's exactly what God is doing.
Sympathetic, Tom Preaching. You couldn't be sympathetic unless you'd gone through the funnel of
2,000. That's right. And so there'll be how many positions in that body of Christ?
144,001.
In that government. What about the great company then? What happens to their position in the body of Christ? Those that have gone along and those that have neglected really the privilege of sacrifice.
The chosen men, they would not be in the body of Christ.
In other words, they would lose their position in the body of Christ. But they had one, though, didn't
they? To begin with, yes, they had to begin to get the Holy Spirit of God in there. But they lost that man. They still be in the church of the birth room. But I encourage Brother John Ash to the second part of the first resurrection.
Okay, I'll get into that particular thing. But let's go ahead and read this, and then we'll analyze tomorrow. But, Sister Vienna, would you read the 13th verse?
For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and have been all made to drink into one Spirit.
All right, now what is that Spirit? The Holy Spirit. In other words, we're all really become by this one Spirit. Well, why would that bring us into to this relationship
with the Spirit of the devil?
The Spirit of the Ghetto. If you need the Holy Spirit, not be the Spirit of the Ghetto. Yes. Yeah.
But
why would that bring us into such a relationship?
Become son.
Become a part of that family of God, don't you?
Yeah.
the 14th and 15th, Sister Jill.
For the body is not one member, but many. If the church shall say, because I am not the head, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body?
Yeah, try to do that with your own body. Doesn't work out very well, does it? You try to eliminate certain parts of your body, and what happens to the rest of the body?
That's
the thing
on the
digits,
that part is
significant. It suffers too, doesn't it? You cut off a finger and your whole body will suffer, so it doesn't.
If you take out one eye, the other eye will be blind too.
That's right.
The pain is all in the head.
That's right. You've done it unbelief for these, my brother, you've done it unbelief. All right, let's go on. Yes, you might read it a couple more.
And if the ear shall say, because I am not the eye, I am not the body, is it therefore not the body? If the whole body were an eye, where were the hearing? If the whole were hearing, where were the smelling? But now has God set the members, every one of them in the body, as it is painful. And if they were all one member, where were the body?
Yes. All right, now what is Paul's whole argument here?
Very necessary
and very important to every other member of the body,
isn't it? And it's God put them there, too.
Yes, and God himself placed them as he pleased him, and not as it pleased us. We've all thought that we have the right to choose why we wouldn't have chosen who God chose. I'm sure of that. I don't think any of us would have gone out and chose three fishermen to start the body of Christ with, would we? Which is something that doesn't have quite the smell of fish if we were going to start at least the body of Christ. But three fishermen, and all of them were unlearned men. None of them could read or none of them could write. And these are the three, really, that the body of Christ with.
But Brother John,
they're
not members of the body as men or as fishermen.
That is right. But he chose those three to begin really a new life in them, didn't he?
And that's
why with us
we can't judge one another according to the flesh.
It's according
to
the spirit of members
of the body of Christ.
Yeah. You know, and Paul really was chastising the Corinthians quite heavily here in this letter. And you notice as he goes on here, he continues the same thought. You remember we were discussing, I think it was one week, Sunday night, about the memorial, keeping of the memorial. Paul brings in the same thought, you know, keeping the memorial. It isn't the thought of taking of the sacraments or the emblems. It's the thought of discerning the body of Christ. It's really keeping the memorial. You know, we might read that a little bit of that, too. I can find it.
Therefore, into one place, it is not to eat the Lord's Supper.
For in eating, everyone taketh before other his own supper. And one is hungry, and another is drunken. What have ye not helped to eat and to drink him? Or despise ye the church of God, and shame them that have not? What shall I say to you? Shall I praise you in this? I praise you not.
So that in a gathering, they would come together, and they would, some would bring food and set up a table, and they would eat.
They had a banquet.
And just for a banquet, and I guess they had wine and everything else. And some didn't have any. They just didn't have anything to eat, so they just sat there and looked on. And this is what the Apostle Paul is talking about. He says, you know, this is not eat the Lord's Supper. He says, well, if he not houses to eat, in other words, he said it would be better if they ate at home rather than come and do this, because in doing so, they were despising them that had not. They were despising the Church of God. And then he goes in and tells what he received of the Lord, which was really the picture of the Last Supper. And what was really the thing that Jesus did at that Last Supper? What did he do?
You
were just to take an overall picture of it. What really did he do at the Last Supper?
Was he showing them how they became part of him?
I think he was, very definitely. And how was he showing them how they became a part of him?
The picture of the body assimilating the food.
That's right, but what was he doing? How did they become a part of him? How were they able to become a part of him?
By appropriating to themselves, picture of the bread and the
wine. That's relating to themselves that. But before they could even appropriate to themselves that, what had to be done?
It had to be provided.
It had to be provided. In other words, he said that the bread represented what?
The God.
It was broken for them. The cup with the wine represented
his blood,
his poured out life. And he took it and gave it to them, didn't he? That's what he did. In other words, the things that he had, and that was all that he had, he took and shared it with them. Do you see what Paul really is calling our attention to here? That is the Lord's Supper.
The Scripture's account is pretty pointed in that.
He took what he had and he shared it with all. And to me, that really is the beautiful picture behind the Lord's Supper. And unless he was telling them, unless you do the same thing, unless you're willing to do that, and then learn each one as a body member, they were doing what?
Instead of doing this fight, could they be partaking, which is this thing, this a common thing, which it was not, and it's quite terrible. And so he said, eat this and drink it unworthily, eating it as judgment to himself, not deserving the body's strength, not understanding what he's all about.
In other words, if they weren't recognizing the other body members, what were they doing? They were drinking unworthily one tradition. That is the point Paul was trying to put across to them, that they wasn't partaking of these animals, that it made them worthy or unworthy, but it was when they did not discern the other members, so they were considering some members and not considering other members, that they were really drinking unworthily.
We could quote the next verse, and so this cause, that is, drinking unworthily, not deserving the Lord's body. For this cause, many are weak, and many are very sickly, not capable of dying. See, the judgment is so clear upon them in the 30th verse, you see.
You know how Paul's approach to this is all in really discerning or having seven members of the body of Christ. Because if you don't have respect to every other member of the body of Christ, can you have respect to the head? But that's a whole argument back there. Even when he says, I have no need, where the one could say, I have no need of thee, but then he has respect really to the head. And in that way, he would be drinking or partaking unworthily. So, to me, I never saw this. Somebody called my attention to it. What Paul really was trying to put over in this using the Lord's Supper as a basis for it. The recognition, really, of all the body members of Christ.
The Christians evidently were using this thing as one of the Jewish feast days.
That's right. Having a celebration.
Oh, yes.
But really, they weren't recognizing that Jesus had brought them all into one body through the pouring out of his life and his body being broken for them.
He showed that the big effect there, too. The prayer book, and the bread, when you come together to eat, carry one for another.
You see how he put that? Carry one for another. What would that suggest, really, to carry one for another?
Recognition of the other member.
Recognition of the other member. Kindness and courtesy and kindness and love towards the other members, really, is the body of Christ. Okay. Let's get back to our paragraph. That really what has happened to this body, and as far as we brought out for really a governmental arrangement to bless all families of the earth. That is the particular purpose of it. But the members, as Sister Aaron brought out, are members on this side of the veil as well as on that side, and they don't change their position.
Good thing that the body has not a hair in
it. What's that? Well, so we read the next paragraph. The last one.
Love one another as I have loved you.
Yeah. You see,
Brother John,
yes.
To my mind, that was a very good thought. that it was because the Father had given them, but it seems to me there's another thought. And that is, he saw faith there.
Oh, yes. He saw the work of the Father in them, too. That's very true. But I think that he especially knew, even with all